Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, bear hugs are what Scott believes should be given with no clothing on. Go figure.
Welcome back. Yeah, Florida State Clemson this weekend used to be a massive game, and I would give anything for it to return to that. And I told you, Trent, I said I had this deal in my head where I had the Atlantic Division in three tiers.
Right.
You had Clemson and Florida State, their own tier.
Mm-hmm.
Then right below them, you had Louisville, and that was the Lamar Jackson period where they were elevating, they were rising, and they weren't quite there yet.
Top 25. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had everybody else.
Right. Right.
You had everybody else, and then the Coastal is just one big clump. Yeah, but it's not like that anymore. I mean, everything's been flipped upside down. It's like a snow globe that's been shaken, and I'm trying to make sense of it, and I'm trying to make sense of what's going on with the Tigers. So I'm going to chat with this guy. Joining us on the Saitama Hotline, he was captain of the Clemson Tigers, now an analyst for the ACC Network, Eric McLean. Welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
What's up, brother? Thank you so much for having me, my man.
Well, appreciate you coming on, pal. And I just want to ask you this, Eric, and I'm just one question, and then this might be the shortest interview in history. Diagnose Clemson's offensive problems to one single thing. Can you do it?
Yeah, the whole offense. There you go. That's the answer. There's so many problems, man, from the quarterback to lack of production and you know, attention to detail out on the edge at the wide receiver to lack of communication and execution at the offensive line. And then when you add all that up, it's extreme dysfunction, and that's exactly what we're seeing, you know, from the Tigers offensively.
You know, that's a pretty serious word, Eric, dysfunction, especially with regards to a program that has achieved so much over the past decade. To what do you lay the blame? I mean, and first of all, let me ask you also this. How hard is it for you to be critical of the program at this stage, considering your close ties to it?
No, yeah, I mean, that's my job. That's what I get paid to do is to talk about what we see and analyze what we see. And so, unfortunately, right now, the Tigers on offense just are not very good. And, you know, I think it's an interesting thing when you break it all down, and it's quarterback play here, it's offensive line play there, wide receiver play the next, and so it's really just a strange conglomerate of all these things being on, you know, kind of different pages at different times, and so that's why you see the result that you do offensively.
How did it get to this point? Did attention differ or rather take off from one area or another over the past few years? And maybe they said, well, we don't need to focus so much on offensive line, or maybe they paid too much attention to wide receiver. What happened to bring them to this point?
Yeah, well, I think everyone forgets pretty quickly that Clemson just lost two of the best players of all time, and Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence. And so I think we're finding out just how good those guys were, and we like to call them now. They were erasers. They erased problems that Clemson had, and maybe if there was something that, you know, maybe folks would see at times, those guys were just so good that, you know, you couldn't see it, and maybe it hid things and disguised things, and now those things really come into light. So, you know, a big opportunity here for Clemson to continue to grow, get back to the drawing board, and certainly keep trying to, you know, dominate as much as you can this year and attack this year, but, you know, something moving forward, you know, a lot of problems highlighted this year.
And I hope you don't think I'm being a negative Nelly, Eric. I'm really just trying to wrap my head around
it. I think you're just saying facts, man. You're not saying anything that's not true.
Well, I'm wondering this. You talk about disguised things, and you had these guys who were erasers, but were they hiding a system that was fundamentally flawed, that at its core, at its foundation, was never going to succeed or can't succeed unless you have generational talent in the backfield?
Well, you know, it's hard to say that. You know, I think that when you look at the production that they have been able to have from some really good quarterbacks, you know, that they did it with Cole Stout. They did it with him, and he won MVP in every game that he played in. They did it with a guy in Kelly Bryant who got right back to a playoff. So I'm not sure if we would call those guys generational talent, but those seasons still fairly successful with, I think, two losses from both of them. So I don't think that's the case by any stretch.
We're joined by Eric McLean, ACC Network. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it, ACC Network?
Come on.
At Eric McLean on Twitter. And, Eric, you know, you've been in the huddle. You've played at Clemson. You understand all the attention that's pointed towards the football team. It's one of the elite programs in the country. And the usual line when there's diversity is that, well, we block out the distractions, we don't pay attention to outside noise, so on and so forth. But what's the tone like in the headquarters? What's the tone like in the dorms, in the locker room, where the team is isolated and alone together? Are they sharing? Are they caring? Are they you know, hugging each other?
Yeah, you know, I can honestly say I don't know, because I haven't been in this situation during my career. You know, we never were looking at 4-3 straight in the face and figuring out where do we go from here. You know, this is new territory for these Tigers, and no one, I mean, nobody on the team has ever experienced where they are before. So you expect leadership to rise up. You expect guys to come together, and, you know, losing galvanizes you very quickly. You know, it makes you realize what's important, what the team needs to do to move forward. And, you know, that's what you expect to see from a program like this that has a culture in place that, you know, at the end of the day, all these guys know is how to win. So eventually you would think that they would come together and get that common goal moving.
You know, Eric, I've said over and over, we're going to learn more about Dabo Swinney this season and in the coming months, in the next year, really, than we have over his entire tenure at Clemson. And we also forget, Eric, Dabo's still a pretty young guy, and he has extremely limited experience as a head coach. All he's known is pretty much success since the day he took over.
Yeah, he's in new territory as well, right? Now, they did have, you know, I believe a losing season, and I think that actually the year that I was committed to those guys, I think they were 6-7. So certainly has been around this area before and in this kind of time. But, you know, when you ride the mountaintop for so long, you just have to realize there's a different way to do things and get it going, and, you know, just kind of reevaluate moving forward how to handle these situations. And certainly just another, you know, educational piece for his coaching career.
Do you expect coaching changes?
I don't think so. I mean, I think when you've seen the success that these guys have now, if somebody decides to move on, surely that'll be of their own interest. But, you know, I certainly don't think that anybody's getting rid of a coordinator or a position coach. I do not see that at all.
Joined by Eric McLean. Eric, got the game against Florida State this weekend, and I'm sure you heard me preface this interview by mentioning that used to be one of the best rivalries in all of college football.
Yep.
I used to look forward to it each and every year. Now Clemson going through what it's going through, and Florida State's been dealing with issues for a few years now. Can you share some memories that you have from that game? What was maybe your favorite environment when you played the Seminoles? Any key plays you remember?
Yeah, man, that 2015 year, my senior year, to beat those guys to, you know, finally get a lock on the Atlantic. And that was the first time that we had won the Atlantic side since 2011. And, you know, really the Tigers hadn't looked back since then, you know, winning six straight. And so that was kind of the moment that I feel like really just helped propel, you know, this great run that Clemson has been on. And the game started not in our favor. You know, Dalvin Cook went to the house, man, 75 yards, one cut, and in the end zone. And we were just like looking at each other, man, here we go. It's going to happen again. And then luckily, you know, our offense was able to rise up to the occasion and really get it done that day. I just remember sitting on the bench after we had won the game and just soaking it all in, seeing everybody storm the field as Clemson would always do up until the COVID year. And then my brother just came and sat right beside me while we were playing. He was a wide receiver on the team. And, you know, really just soaking that moment in because it was such a big accomplishment for us. And, you know, something clearly Clemson has gotten used to over the years. But I think they're going to be in a dogfight this Saturday.
Yeah, and that brings me to my final question for you. Florida State starts off 0-4. People are already yelling for Mike Norvell to be fired, for the Seminoles to make yet another coaching change, but they've righted the ship. They've won their last three games. They look better and better each week. What has Norvell done to get them going in the right direction, and what can you expect them to do this Saturday?
Yeah, man, it's been an amazing turnaround to see what those guys were and what they have become in the month of October. I think, you know, one of the best months in recent college football history in regards to a turnaround and what we've seen from a team to start and, you know, where they are at present time. They just finally figured out their identity. They're a team that is going to run the football and has to run the football. They've cut down on penalties immensely. cut down on sacks, and that certainly helps when you have an electric quarterback like Jordan Travis is, and, you know, just finding their own. So it's going to be a team that is confident. We're going to be a team that is, you know, feeling good about who they are and what they can do coming into Death Valley. And, you know, Clemson, a team that struggling offensively, as you and I have already gone through many a times here, but the defense will be ready. Those guys have to get jacked up, and, man, it should be a really good game in Death Valley.
What you got going on this weekend? Are you going to be at that game?
No, man. Unfortunately, Saturday is the only day I work, so I'll be up in Bristol, Connecticut. We'll be breaking it all down from ESPN Studios up there and just giving everybody the full coverage all day on the Huddle and on ACC Network.
So how much football do you actually watch then? That must be like 40 hours crammed into one day.
Oh, it's the best, man. There's nothing better. We sit there, we have our studio, we do our show, and then we go to a different part of our studio where we have a big six-box TV screen, and then we have two mega monitors behind it. And, man, we just take in all football all day long. It's a dream come true, to be honest, and I can't believe they pay me to watch football. It's crazy.
You get some of that action. Wow.
That's right. Come on.
All right. You can follow Eric McLean on Twitter, at Eric McLean. Eric, buddy, appreciate you joining us this morning. Let's get together soon.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys. Have a great show.
All righty, buddy. Thank you, sir. It's Eric McLean on the Satama Hotline.